Radio Energy News.
Good afternoon. The time is 10 to 4 and you're listening to EN4 News. I'm Paul Sinclair, coming up on today's programme. With the legalisation of medical cannabis announced in Scotland, we speak with Conservative Councillor Cameron Rose, as well as Pharmaceutical Chairman Stephen Dixon, to discuss the ethical pros and cons of introducing the formerly illegal drug. In the run-up to the 100th anniversary of World War I, we visit a local memorial garden that was vandalised ahead of Remembrance Sunday. And we look at the homeless epidemic in Scotland. In what was predicted to be the coldest winter in recent history, we speak to the homeless and investigate what can be done to prevent more deaths on the streets of Scotland.
At the moment, I can't see anything, but I'm hoping so. I'm trying every day. I'm going up to the council to see if they can get me somewhere to stay at night, but every time I go up, they just say they've not got anywhere available at the moment.
But first, here's Bryce Donaldson with today's top stories.
All 845 workers at Dundee's Michelin plant are set to lose their jobs after the factory's upcoming closure was announced today. The French company planned to end production in Dundee in mid-2020, deeming the factory unsuitable for current climate. Workers at the plant expressed anger at the decision, some even hearing about it through social media before official channels. John Reid, the manager of the Dundee factory, told the BBC that the decision was reached nearly a month ago. However, it was never his intention for employees to learn of this news in the way that they did. All workers were sent home until Thursday. A search has been launched for a 15-year-old Edinburgh girl who went missing 4 days ago. Mia Ramsay was last seen near Old Dalkeith Road around 7:30 on Friday evening. She is described as a white girl of slim build, 5'6" with brown hair. She was last seen wearing pink pyjamas and a black parka jacket. Police are urging anybody with information to contact them on 101, the non-emergency police contact number. Voting is underway for the US midterm elections, where Americans elect representatives to both houses in Congress. Polling stations have now been open for 3.5 hours, with polls still predicting big gains for the Democrats in the House of Representatives. Americans woke up to inspiring messages from celebrities such as Cher and Oprah, asking them to go out and vote. It seems to have worked, as statistics are showing a considerable number of first-time voters at the polls. No, not all has gone smoothly. One polling station in Brooklyn was closed for 1.5 hours past opening time, and some Rhode Island voters received incorrect information regarding polling locations. Results for the election are expected to be in early tomorrow. Theresa May and her cabinet ministers met today to discuss Brexit after a row over the Irish border. The Prime Minister has said she is confident of agreeing a deal with the European Union, but this will not be done at any cost. May will take a draft proposal of the deal to Parliament before the start of next year, but as the issue around the Irish backstop remains unresolved, no agreement can be made. Welsh Secretary Alan Cairns, who was part of the Cabinet meeting, remained positive about ongoing negotiations.
Everyone recognises there's a will to get a deal. The whole Cabinet united behind the Prime Minister, as ever, and we're optimistic that we'll continue to get a deal.
That's all the headlines for now. Back to you, Paul.
Thanks for that, Bryce. So first up today, there's been a lot of talk about Brexit coming out of Westminster this afternoon. We've heard about the Irish backstop, but what does this phrase actually mean? Here to help explain is our political reporter, Aileen Baton. Ellen, what does today's Brexit news actually mean?
Thank you, Paul. Well, the meeting appears to have gone smoothly for Theresa May today, which might be news in and of itself. The Prime Minister's in discussions with her cabinet over 3 hours today, which is a lot longer than was expected. On the table for discussion was this so-called backstop agreement on the Irish border. So what does that mean? Well, listeners may remember that the Prime Minister signed up to an agreement with the EU almost a year ago to ensure that no matter what, there wouldn't be a hard border on the Irish mainland. That's what this backstop agreement means. It means that even if the UK crashes out without a deal, Ireland will still be okay. So this has tied the hands of the UK ever since, because in order to avoid a hard border, the UK would A, have to remain in the single market and the customs union just to match Ireland and the rest of the EU, or B, Northern Ireland would have to have a special deal whereby it stays in whilst the rest of the UK leaves. Option A won't really work because the hard Brexiters in government don't want that. It would be as if we didn't leave in the first place, they say. And option B isn't going to fly because we have to remember that the DUP are propping up Theresa May's government, and they certainly don't want this. So all that's come out of today really was that Theresa May was saying that she's going to try and get some wiggle room on this backstop issue to ensure that it won't last forever. but we've heard in the past couple of minutes from Ireland and the EU that this is not good enough. The negotiations are going to conclude at the end of this month, so I expect we'll see a lot more in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, thanks for that. In local news, it is the day after the busiest night of the year for Scotland's fire and rescue teams. Without any organised fireworks displays in the city centre last night, amateur shows ignited residential areas all over the capital. Ryan Trainer has been investigating the effect Bonfire Night has had this year.
Remember, remember, the 5th of November is the phrase, although emergency services need not be reminded of the busiest night of their year. Ahead of Bonfire Night last night, Police Scotland took a number of measures in an attempt to avoid injuries and antisocial behaviour against officers that was abundant last year. In preparation, over 300 streets where incidents had been predicted were made enforcement dispersal zones across Portobello, Pelton, Craigentinny and Muirhouse. Additionally, the Scotland Fire and Rescue Service used their social media platform to warn the public ahead of the evening with the hashtag, Do Not Attack Me.
My advice to you is do not attack us. You're endangering our lives, you're endangering other public's lives. We end up in hospital, along with other emergency services, because you're attacking us. It's unacceptable at any time of year, not just Bonfire Night.
The annual display at Meadowbank did not take place this year due to the venue being closed for redevelopment, leaving the city centre with no major organised fireworks show yesterday. This meant that amateur firework displays spread into residential areas. The education officer from Edinburgh Dog and Cat Home told us about the impact these non-organised displays had on local communities and their pets.
But a night like last night, where there wasn't an organised display in central Edinburgh, means that there was fireworks going off left, right and centre. You might have heard them yourself, Ryan. I know around my house, fireworks going off this way and that at random points throughout the evening, sometimes as early as 3 o'clock, sometimes as late as sort of 1 a.m. So the effect that that's got on pets is really quite stressful, obviously, but in terms of mitigating the stress makes it insanely difficult because we don't know when they're going to be going off or where they're going to be off. So in terms of putting on music and doing other things around the home to try and calm them down, it's stretched across a much larger period of time and it's harder to know when and where they're going to be.
Measures taken by the emergency services seem to work in some areas, like in the Meadows and Brunsfield links, where locals described a tame evening. But reports of fireworks being let off on roads and pointed at cars were made from Blackburn and West Lothian, with one bystander calling the scene a war zone. The law as it stands already sees some regulation in place, with it only being legal to buy fireworks for private use and dates leading up to events like Bonfires Night or New Year. Amateur displays like the ones seen last night by law should only have lasted until midnight, but locals report hearing bangs going off after 1 a.m. A petition calling for a ban on the sale of fireworks to the public has been circulating today and has reached over 177,000 signatures, making it eligible for debate and consideration in Parliament. This is Ryan Trainor, EN4 News.
On Saturday, a local remembrance garden in Edinburgh was vandalised in what has been described as a malicious act. The annual marking and respect, formerly known as Puppy Day, was interrupted when preparing for their 100th year of marking the end of the Great War. Sebastian Fogstad has the story.
Sunday, once again, the last drop will be played on Remembrance Day. The annual poppy display in Prince Street Gardens, placed next to the Scott Monument, was vandalised on Saturday night. The volunteers from Poppy Scotland discovered a memorial in a wreckage. The crosses had been uprooted, red scattered, and a wooden indicator sign knocked over. We went to the headquarters of Poppy Scotland. When entering the factory, there are poppies as far as the eye can see. On the walls, as decorations, on all the production boxes, and even designed onto the carpeted floor. The production line consists of injured war veterans, who are all working hard in preparing for the upcoming Remembrance Day. There we spoke to the head of fundraising, Gordon Mitchie, about the situation.
When the volunteers arrived on Saturday morning, they found a lot of the crosses had been pulled out of the ground, they'd been scattered. Some of the boarding had been shredded and at first they thought it could have been wind damage, but on further inspection it was obvious that this was not wind damage and we straight away informed Police Scotland. We phoned 101. It wasn't a life or death situation, but it was important, so we used the proper channels of 101. And the two members of Police Scotland came down to the field and spoke to my team leader and the volunteers who were present, and they also agreed that it was more than likely an act of vandalism from what they could see.
It is still unclear why this could have happened, and it's currently under investigation by the police. However, some feel that wearing a poppy has become too political, and feel that politicians use the powerful feeling it creates to justify war. Among others, the 30-year-old Serbian Manchester United player Nemanja Matic says he will not wear a poppy on his football t-shirt because it reminds him of when his village was bombed when he was 12 years old. Head of fundraising, Gordon Michie.
And there's been a lot of comment since about what a great travesty this has been, how people can do such a thing to such a special and important place, particularly in this year of remembrance. The ones I feel particularly vexed for are our team of volunteers who man that garden in their own time. They spend a lot of care and attention and a lot of love meeting members of the public and helping them plant their crosses.
Each year, millions of British soldiers respect wearing the red poppies, all who lost their lives fighting on behalf of their country, and raise money for those whose lives have been affected by war. This year marks 100 years of the poppy, and the vets of the factory have prepared something special for this anniversary. Gordon Michie tells us about this.
We produce nearly 5 million poppies by hand here, and this year for the first time we have added on to the poppy in gold on approximately 2 million of the 5 million production, the letters 1918 to 2018. That is to commemorate the centenary of the armistice of the war that was supposed to end all wars. It's the first change that we've ever really made to it, but we felt it was important to allow us to say thank you. Thank you is a big thing for us this year. It's one of our key themes. It's thanking not only that generation that served, but those that were left behind, the wives, the mothers, the parents.
In Princes Street, next to the Scott Monument, 8,000 crosses are planted to tribute the servicemen and women who lost their lives in war. As for now, the annual remembrance decorations are back in place and are once again ready for the Poppy Day tradition this Sunday. Sebastian Fogstad, EN4 News.
With the legalisation of medical cannabis announced in Scotland, we speak with Conservative Councillor Cameron Rose, as well as Pharmaceutical Chairman Stephen Dixon, to discuss the ethical pros and cons of introducing the formerly illegal drug.
The UK has finally followed in America's footsteps, legalising cannabis for medical usage. Cannabis is the most commonly used drug in Britain, and while discussion around the topic is increasing, users will still meet strict eligibility restrictions around acquiring medical cannabis, with only oil and pill forms currently available on the medicinal market. Here in Edinburgh, it was announced this week that Greek billionaire Alik David had announced his plans to open a cannabis cafe on the world-famous Princes Street, sparking a local buzz on how this will be received from the public. EN4 News spoke to Conservative Councillor Cameron Rose and also Stephen Dixon, director of the pharmaceutical company Methammeasure, who also distribute cannabis oil, to gauge their opinion on the legislation of medicinal cannabis. The first question I just want to ask you is, what is your personal stance on the use of medical marijuana?
For example, I'm aware that some people regard medical marijuana as a Trojan horse, mm-hmm. As an opportunity to open up this area to drugs in general. Mm-hmm. And I think there is a need to be alert to that as well. And marijuana as a whole is something which has a negative effect on a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Some people don't find it harms them, or modest use doesn't harm them. I have a number of friends over the years who have developed side effects, schizophrenia. I remember very clearly a friend of mine who had all sorts of personality problems. And I said, how did this happen? Do you know, was there a time when not? And he said, straight back to me, he said, too much wacky-backy when I was young. So there are huge dangers here. Now, marijuana is not the most serious of drugs, mm-hmm. but there is no doubt about it that it does have very negative effects on some people.
And that was Conservative Councillor Cameron Rose there. And we now turn to Stephen Dixon, Director of Methammeasure, who will give us his opinion on the medical marijuana discussion.
I think it's very confusing in the UK at the moment. We've been able to buy these products that look like cannabis for quite a long time, for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And there's a bit of confusion between what is medical marijuana, what is cannabis oil, what is hemp oil. I think my personal stance is that the public needs to understand that there's some fundamental differences between these products. But basically, what has been going on at the moment in the news is all about medical marijuana, i.e. about the extract of a plant which has not really been processed. I think it will always be received well, because that's the experience in other countries.
Yeah.
I think right now it's not going to be received at all.
Okay.
Because in order to get it under the current legislation, you would really have to have an orphan disease or something very unusual, and you would have to go through an awful lot of very complicated hoops to get it prescribed in the NHS. I mean, I probably shouldn't say this, but, you know, from a personal experience, if anyone wanted recreational cannabis, it's not terribly hard to get hold of.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's going to change. I think that's probably going to, if anything, that might reduce a bit, because the, you know, a lot of people were buying it for their aunts or their grannies or their mums and dads with MS. And we see this all the time in the NHS.
The time is 4:07, still to come on the programme. As homeless deaths in Scotland reach critical levels, we take a look at what's being done to get people off the streets and into shelter. An all-inclusive fashion show is set to take place at the Scottish Parliament this weekend. The show, which is part of the Scottish Government's Year of Young People initiative, will feature clothes created by young designers of all abilities. At least 94 homeless people have died in Scotland over the last 12 months. The cold winter months can be the hardest for people living on the streets, and charities are having to raise more and more money to keep those living on the streets. Help those living on the streets, excuse me. Joanna Hampson reports.
It's set to be the coldest winter yet, and as temperatures plummet across the country, the cold weather can prove fatal for people sleeping on the streets. The bitterly cold wind can increase the risk of developing hypothermia and frostbite, and countless homeless people have died from sleeping rough during the freezing winter months. But homelessness is an issue all year round. Just last week, Scotland's National Records Office announced that it will undertake a review that could see it count the deaths of homeless people accurately for the first time, allowing for a more precise view of how the issue is progressing. This comes after it was found that at least 94 people had died while homeless in Scotland in the last 12 months. In Glasgow alone, 47 people had died while homeless since October 2017. And in Edinburgh, 22 homeless people had died, including two sleeping rough on the streets, and one of these on a night when the temperatures fell to -5 degrees. But when the death toll is only increasing and the winters are getting colder, how can we help the current situation? While the occasional handful of change and a warm cup of tea certainly raises the spirits of people sleeping rough, it's the long-term solutions that really make a difference. Winter shelters and hostels not only provide a place to sleep at night, but these services can put the homeless in contact with people who can assist in finding more permanent housing. EN4 News spoke to Brian, who has been homeless for a month after losing his home because of rent arrears. He told us the hardest thing about being homeless in Edinburgh.
The cold weather, and no being able to eat, you know, because I'm getting the money to stay in a hostel, you know, trying to get somewhere to sleep at night, but it's just hard not being able to eat, and the cold weather is probably the worst. At the moment, I can't see anything, but I'm hoping so. I'm trying every day. I'm going up to the council to see if they can get me somewhere to stay at night, but every time I go up, they just say they've not got anywhere available at the moment, and it's always the same story.
EN4 News spoke to Ruth Longmuir, the care shelter manager at the Bethany Christian Trust, about what the charity is doing to alleviate the homeless crisis this winter.
So the care shelter in Edinburgh started in 1996 with a 2-week pilot project for Christmas, and since then it's grown in length over the years until this year, when it's going to be 32 weeks across the winter. So it opened on the 24th of September and it will run right through until the 5th of May. And over that time, as well as increasing in length, response to the demand that we see from people needing to use the shelter, we've also increased the capacity of the shelter, so currently we have space for 60 individuals each night. The Buy a Bed campaign is something that we started last year to raise funds for the care shelter, and so people can buy a voucher which costs £21, and that is the cost of one bed space at the care shelter. So it's a way for people to contribute. They can buy it as a Christmas present for someone, like a virtual gift to give to someone, and it's helping to take somebody off the streets and to give them a warm, safe place to stay overnight. The need it is really high at the moment. We currently have a capacity of 60 people per night, and unfortunately in the last week on 24 different occasions we've had to turn somebody away because of capacity. So it is a difficult situation. Thankfully by December we hope to be able to increase the capacity to 70 people per night, which, seeing the current need, that would be enough people to make sure everybody got in from the cold each night. So we do our best to meet the needs and we'll respond to that and see what else we can do to make sure that no one has to slip outside.
An all-inclusive fashion week kicked off in Edinburgh to celebrate clothing for people of all abilities, race and size. The non-profit Fashion Able campaign is part of the Scottish Government's 2018 theme, The Year of Young People. The week began with an exhibition featuring clothes created by various young designers and performances from young people, including tap dancing and drumming. Fashionable Wheel hopes to encourage designers to create clothes for diverse groups of people to promote equality, as Daisy Smith reports.
Walk, walk, Fashion Able! Diversity, equality and integrity are not usually what you associate with the world of fashion. However, the Fashion Able campaign is hoping to change that with a week-long fashion week with inclusivity at its core. 13-year-old Arwen Silman has been chosen to present the event.
It's not really all about the fashion, it's about really showing the diversities between and that anybody can do it. So you don't have to be, you know, a certain type, a certain religion or colour or something, you know. It's all about including everybody.
The not-for-profit campaign launched yesterday at St Margaret's House in Edinburgh and will culminate in a runway fashion show at the Scottish Parliament this Thursday. The Inclusive Fashion Week is part of 2018's Year of Young People, which includes and celebrates young people of all abilities, race and size. 16-year-old Willow Tatton will be walking in the fashion show for the second year.
I don't think the representation that people should be seeing should be just of one certain person that people aspire to look like. And they should be able to see themselves reflected in these kind of fashion things and TV and all of this.
The Fashion Able campaign organiser, Tanya Promschufer, reached out to various young designers to create clothes for all sizes so that anyone could take part.
Fashion is about people, and people come in all shapes and sizes, in all colours and cultures, and Fashion Able is about creating events that support inclusivity, diversity and integrity. Integrity is the fashion and inclusivity and diversity is about the people.
The designers use their clothes to address issues and use sustainable fabrics and second-hand garments to craft their works. Alison Harm of Cycle Moda is one of these designers.
Wearing clothes is a really great way of expressing yourself. And I believe fashion is an expression of culture and how you place yourself within that culture. So for me, yes, it's very important that people get involved in it and it gives you confidence.
Another group of designers from Remode Collective are a group of migrants and refugees making clothes. Morena Denebo explained the importance of inclusivity.
As you can see from all around the world, people are like racism is growing, unfortunately, and now with Brexit and the whole weight on our shoulders, yes, it's good to understand that all the people have different skills that they can bring together.
On Thursday, these people will all be taking to the Parliament to create the show. Daisy Smith, EN4 News.
And over to Bryce Arthur with the sport. Bryce?
Thanks, Paul. Scottish rugby star Stuart Hogg will be playing with the national team this Saturday, despite serious ankle surgery in September. The fullback, who also plays with Glasgow Warriors, was ruled out for 10 to 12 weeks after his procedure in late September. However, he has been added to this weekend's squad for the home game against Fiji. Scotland's assistant coach, Danny Wilson, was vague about the extent of Hogg's fitness, but expressed optimism at a press conference on Monday.
Is Stuart Hogg ready to play?
Still a few boxes to tick, a few decisions to make on that, but made really good progress. He's ahead of schedule, so we'll see how he goes the rest of this week.
Former five-weight world champion boxer Floyd Mayweather has come out of retirement again, this time to announce a fight against Tenshin Nasukawa, a 20-year-old Japanese mixed martial artist. Tenshin is the current featherweight champion of the Rising Fighting Federation, who Mayweather has temporarily signed with so the fight can take place. Much like the Mayweather-McGregor fight last year, organisers will have to work out whether the fight will be a boxing match or have more of a mixed martial arts format. Both fighters are undefeated in their respective sports. The fight is set for the 31st of December at the Saitama Super Arena in Japan. A British-trained racehorse cross-counter has won the Melbourne Cup, the first time a British-trained horse has won the event in its 158-year history. The team supporting the horse, including the winning jockey Karen McEvoy, will be taking home the first-place prize money of $4 million. Winning trainer Charlie Appleby spoke about how grateful he was to take home the win.
First and foremost, this is for His Highness Sheikh Mohammed and Godolphin. This is a race, you know, for years we've been trying to win, and I'm just in the fortunate position to be able to turn up with the right horse. Huge team effort. Back home, the guys, you know, it is a massive team.
Cross Counter was followed by horses Marmello and Prince of Allen, who are also British trained. Back to Paul for the rest of the news.
Thanks for that, Bryce. And finally, last night saw the beginning of Yule Fest, an independent Leith-based festival which is set to showcase some of the best bars and restaurants in the area across the Christmas season. We sent Olivia Hill to Leith to find out more.
Cheers! The nights are growing colder, but luckily it's the first night of Yule Fest. I'm inside Joseph Pierce's, one of the 15 bars in Leith taking part. The festival will run through to the end of the year and gives people the chance to try Christmassy cocktails while also helping local causes at the same time. The proceeds from wristbands bought by festival goers will go to two Leith-based volunteer groups. Emma Lone, sales and marketing manager for Malmaison and coordinator of Yule Fest, spoke about what people can look forward to.
So it was an idea that started way back at the start of the year, and we wanted to create a buzz in Leith throughout the festival in August, so we created Chill Fest, and then that was such a success that we've decided to go on and create a buzz over Christmas as well and bring some people down to Leith for November and December. So a lot of the bars that we had involved in Chill Fest have decided to get on board again. And we're tying it in with charity, which we did for the summer as well. So it's nice to have a charitable element to help out the local community as well. So we had Project 42 and Leith Citadel for the summer months. And then for Christmas, we're doing the Hidden Door Festival, and we're also doing Leithers Don't Litter.
Hidden Door is a Leith-based volunteer organisation that aims to use urban areas as a platform for new musicians, artists and filmmakers so they can showcase their work while engaging with new audiences. David Martin, the founder and director of the Hidden Door Festival, spoke about how grateful they are for this support.
We are currently doing a fundraising campaign, which is why Yule Fest has offered this amazingly generous offer. Yule Fest giving us the proceeds from their wristbands is a really generous way of supporting what we're trying to do and kind of showing a bit of solidarity for us, you know, as a sort of volunteer organisation trying to generate more creativity in the city.
Another volunteer group that will also benefit from Yule Fest is Leithers Don't Litter, an organisation working to combat litter on the streets of Leith. I spoke to Zhisha Farrell, one of the founders.
Anna from Boda Bars phoned me up and told me about this opportunity. Before that, we weren't involved with the actual fest, but we have heard about the great causes they used the money to support in the previous years, like the Citadel Youth Center, which is one of our favorite organizations in Leith. They are doing a lot of good for the community. So obviously we were both really chuffed when we heard that this year they picked us as being one of the organisations they are going to support.
Anna Christopherson is the owner of the Boda Bar Group and is also behind the creation of Yule Fest. She thinks the festival is the perfect opportunity for people to enjoy what Leith has to offer.
I think they can expect to have some fantastic cake, coffees, cocktails, but then also to experience many different places. So I suggest that they should make a night out and do your Christmas night out in Leith this year.
Olivia Hill, EN4 News.
This is Radio Energy. Travel.
Things are running relatively smoothly this afternoon, but if you are heading out by the Western General Hospital, be on the lookout for a broken down car that is partially blocking traffic throughout southbound. And in the weather, temperatures are set to remain steady at around 13 degrees throughout the afternoon and into the evening. Conditions are to remain slightly cloudy, with rain showers expected into the early hours of tomorrow. And that's nearly all the time we have today. In closing headlines, 94 homeless people have died on the streets of Scotland in the last 12 months, with local charities being encouraged to raise more money for the cause. And cannabis has been legalised in Scotland for medical purposes. It has also been announced that Greek tycoon Alik David plans to open Scotland's first cannabis cafe on Edinburgh's iconic Prince's Street. That's all from EN4 News. I'm Paul Sinclair. Thanks for listening.
Hear it. Feel it. Listen again at www.radioenrg.net.